You hear me, New York? We're gonna be on Broadway. Because I'm not giving up. I'm still here and I'm staying. You hear that, New York? I'm staying here. The Prog is staying.
Hello, hello.
Hello. I'm Jessica Benoist-Young.
And I'm Melanie Reed.
And this is Best Line.
Worst Line.
You keep waiting for me to do like the extended.
I know, because you used to do
that. But
I know.
Done it.
Okay.
All right.
You haven't done it in over a year.
Where, if you're new, I mean, we should do this because there are going to be new people.
We hope there are new people.
We're really hoping that there's some new people, some first timers with us for this episode, because maybe you're really into the topic of this episode and, I mean, join the club. So where we watch movies and choose a best and worst line.
Yeah,
and
it
discuss.
Is pretty self-explanatory in the
it's
in the
pretty,
title.
It's there in the name.
It's right, really mm-hmm. right there in the name. Anyway, today we are talking about... We're doing a throwback movie with our wonderful guest, who is a dear friend of mine. Lin Chen has a multi-decade acting career with credits in television shows, Grey's Anatomy, Shameless, Silicon Valley, films, Saving Face and Go Back to China, audiobooks, Crazy Rich Asians, Land of Big Numbers, and video games, which I hear that's like really so fun, Ghosts of Tsushima, Call of Duty, Black Ops, 3 and 4, and now she adds filmmaker to her resume with her directorial debut, I Will Make You Mine, which premiered at South by Southwest in 2020, which is now streaming on VOD, and it is excellent. You should definitely watch it, and just generally follow Lin in whatever she does, because she's fantastic. Lin, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hello.
It's so nice to be here discussing this movie.
So today we are talking about Muppets Take Manhattan, and I'm actually shocked we haven't done a Muppet movie yet, because I love the Muppets.
I am too.
I know. I am such a huge Muppet fan. And Lin, you chose this movie. So I want to jump in with, why did you suggest Muppets Take Manhattan?
I got married to this movie, along with many other movies, but Muppets sort of was the main theme. I got married back in, I don't know, 2003, maybe. I don't even remember. It's been so long. And we got married in a movie theater, my husband and I, and neither of us wanted to have anything scripted or anything religious. We didn't want to say anything. So we thought, wouldn't it be great, since we're very into film, and we had a lot of members of our family attending who were in the film industry, wouldn't it be great to take some of the wedding scenes from their movies and some wedding scenes from our favorite movies and splice them together? And then the actual marriage part was, we took a old Charlie Chaplin movie where they're in a church and spliced together title cards to say, like, do you take this woman? Do you take this man? We kissed, the end. And Muppets Take Manhattan, along with Princess Bride, along with Abe's, my husband, his great uncle, Michael, he choreographed Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and he was in attendance. So we had scenes from Seven Brides from Seven Brothers, and he like just laughed his, you know, you could hear his like signature laugh in the audience. And his uncle Robert had done a movie called Breaking Up with Russell Crowe and Selma Hayek. And so we honored him, even though that was about divorce. And, you know, it was a really fun thing. So anyway, we got like, our cake toppers were actual like pig and frogs, Pez dispensers from The Muppets. And I'd say we watched this movie no less than like, I mean, I watched it a lot growing up, but then together as a couple, we watch it so many times because we were coming up with, you know, great scenes and, you know, the Somebody's Getting Married whole movie thing, the musical number was a huge part. I'd say it was like at least 3 minutes of our ceremony. So I, yes, that's why I wanted, when Melanie asked me which Muppets movie, because I asked if we could do a Muppets movie and she asked me which one, I was like, well, The Muppets Take Manhattan, and I hadn't revisited it in quite some time. So I got the 4K DVD listen to it with Frank Oz's commentary and experienced it in a whole new way. So thank you for that opportunity and that experience.
That's amazing. That's probably the coolest story I've ever heard.
Thank you. I wish the New York Times had thought so too, because Abe's mom used to read us the wedding vows, and it was always her dream to get us, you know, to read ours. Mm-hmm. And when we submitted it, we're like, home run. Like, who's not going to want this, right? We were not featured. We were not mentioned. None of it. Abe was like, maybe they like couldn't talk about the illegal downloading of movies. The fact that like Netflix had just started and we were using like burners to like take the DVD, rip the DVDs. Maybe that was it. But I was like, either that or they suck. Because I thought our wedding was the best. And I have to say,
that sounds amazing.
The people who came were really happy. It was great.
That sounds great. I notoriously am not the hugest fan of weddings. I mean, the ones I've been to have been generally all very good, but I don't love them. And I think I would love that. So that sounds incredible.
We made fake trailers too.
Okay. That's amazing.
That's good.
What I'm not sure you saw, Lynn, was when you mentioned choreographer for Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Jessica's face was astounded.
Yeah. Well, it's Jessica, a very, very, he's a great choreographer.
The choreography from that movie is incredible. Yes.
And I was going to say, and I do know, Jessica's a choreographer. And and I do happen to know that that is one of her favorite sets of choreography. Even if the story of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is...
But
and that I choreography don't, I, is... is incredible. And Jessica's face was like blown away when you said that.
I don't do it anymore, but I mean, it's one of the things that, like, obviously I could do it again if I wanted to. But when I was doing, like, I started a summer musical program for kids in the town that I live in, and I did it for 10 or 11 years. And there were a couple moms of our like really avid kids that did it, you know, every year for years. There were a couple moms who would always suggest Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. And I would be like, no, we are not putting that show on a stage. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, God, I would love to choreograph that show, but I'm like, no, we're not putting this.
We did Seven Brides when I was a high school choir director because we had a ton of boys.
We had a ton of boys, and that's why they always suggested it.
I kind of like, I actually really do wish I like protested against that more, because wow, my girls were like, really, this was the choice. And I was like,
this is what you're making me do.
The music kind of is very fun.
Oh yeah. So stay tuned for our Seven Brides for Seven Brothers episode sometime.
No. Hard to protest on that. Anyway, so I have a question. Lynn and Jess, who's your favorite Muppet?
That is such a tricky question. Do you have a favorite? That said, I really love Janice.
Janice is
awesome choice.
Because people said I was like her in college. But as an adult, I think I've really gravitated towards Rolf because he's just so chill, and he's like who I kind of want to be a little bit. And my husband did meet the Muppets once when he worked at BuzzFeed. I've never seen him look happier in a photo than I have of him, like, including on our wedding day, when he had his hand on Rolf. He had his hand, like, around them, and one of the hands was on Rolf. And I remember him telling me, he's like, he's so soft. And I was like, wow.
Okay.
Like, and he's a dog, you know.
So
like,
you're in love with Rolf.
Okay,
now.
So that's cool. And he plays piano. So I just think he's so cool. He's a cool.
He's such
a cool
an artist.
Cat. Yeah.
But he has like this really dry sense of humor. Yeah. But he's very down to earth. Yeah, he's great. I gotta say, I feel I feel like I'm a Piggy. I just classic. Love Miss Piggy. But I also, when I was younger, it was Fozzie Bear, which is, that makes perfect sense because yes. like all I've ever done my entire life is walk around trying to make jokes. But I think as I've gotten older, I have more of an appreciation for Gonzo's sense of humor and just how he's so random and so kind of oblivious to like how he is just funny. He's not trying to make waka 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 type jokes. He's just a really funny guy and putting himself in situations that are naturally funny. And so I've come to enjoy that. But I do just still really love, I think Miss Piggy is just a really great character. And she's like, she's a tough cookie, man.
She is. I think my favorite in this, Lynn, as you were saying, the type of person you want to be is more like Rolf. This may say a lot about me, about who my favorite has become as an adult. And that's Rizzo.
I love Rizzo.
Who is super anxious and just like completely manic. But I'm leaning in. But I think Rizzo is like just the funniest character. I mean, my favorite Muppets movie, it's a toss. It has to be Christmas Carol. I think Muppet Christmas Carol is my favorite. He and Gonzo have my favorite bits in that movie. But in this, I really loved him in this because it's that same kind of like punny type of humor. He's just like laying it all out there. I'm like, I love Rizzo. Rizzo's the best.
I think this was the one that introduced the rats, right?
I think
Yeah, it did. Did you guys ever watch Muppets Tonight? I don't think you can find it anywhere anymore, but it was like it was almost like 30 Rock before 30 Rock was
a thing. Oh, yeah, I did.
Because it
I
was
did
like
watch it
behind the bit, scenes yeah. of them getting ready for like a variety
show. Yeah, like the
show,
Muppet
like a
show.
Nighttime variety show.
Like the Muppet show.
And Rizzo was a huge part of that. Rizzo was like the producer.
He's the stage manager of the Muppet show.
Yeah. So he was like the stage manager or like, I don't know. But he was a huge part of that and he was so good. And then there was like this Muppet that I've never seen before or since named Clifford, I think, who was the producer or the director or something. But it was really good. They had some amazing guests and some of the bits were incredible and still live in my head rent-free to this day. Like Garth Brooks singing If I Were a Rich Man. Incredible. And like full Tevye costume, kicking
Garth Brooks,
Camilla and the other chickens around. Hilarious. And Sandra Bullock doing Menomina.
Oh, that would be my walk-up song. If I were to have a baseball walk-up song, it's Menomina. Menomina.
I have a question. Just a little quick question, because you mentioned that Rizzo was the stage manager. What happened to Scooter? I haven't kept up with the Muppets in later years, but when I was younger, Scooter was always the 5 minutes still curtain.
Oh, maybe it was Scooter. Rizzo did something. Rizzo was something along those lines. Maybe he was a TA stage manager.
Maybe he was running around.
That sounds right. Rizzo. What I was going to say in reference to Abe's picture, one of my favorite conceits of Hollywood, and this goes to what you were saying about the Muppets Tonight, is the Muppets are actors. They are actors. They are interviewed. The Muppets are actors. Like they are on talk shows. Miss Piggy was a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. You know, at this point, if they were to do a season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Piggy was on it as a full housewife, nobody would bat an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would, and I would watch. That would be the first season I would watch of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Would be the one with Miss Piggy. I just absolutely love that. Like Brett Goldstein interviewed them about like the 30th anniversary of Muppet Christmas Carol. And it was like the best thing I've ever seen.
It's been 30 years since Muppet Christmas Carol.
That was last year too. Yeah. Okay. So, and Lynn, I teed you up for this question because this was my, like a question that somebody asked me once and I thought it was like the best question ever. If you were to remake a movie with the Muppets and keep one human character, which I realize there are often more, but keep one human character, what movie would it be?
One human character. Let me think. Okay. Well, you know, my first thought that comes up this is such a this is such a Hollywood thing to say. I would redirect my own movie.
Because, I love that. No, because that's a great answer.
I know every frame. There's nothing I know and have studied more than my first movie, right. I Will Make You Mine. But, oh my, I was thinking more like that I would recast one to play be a Muppet. But if all of them are Muppets, then okay, I could do this too. So the movie, okay. My movie, which I'm sure most people have not seen, is centered around.
I have, it's around, great. You should watch it.
Yes, but like, you know, most people would be like, I don't understand why this is funny. But it is, all right? It's the third movie in a trilogy. And in the third movie, all of the women from the love interest from the first two movies come together and are reminiscing about the main character from the first two movies. So it's like a little bit of a gender flip of like the guy trying to get the girl in the first two movies. He gets three different girls. And then in the last movie, my movie, it's these three women. He's not with any of them, and they're all reminiscing about their time with him. So, and he's a musician. So I would definitely have him, Go Nakamura, be himself. He also plays a version of himself. Mm-hmm. And all the women, all the other cast members would be Muppets.
Yeah.
That's what
if you were going to do it, if you were going to have done it the other way, what would you have done?
Well, same thing. I would make Go the Muppet. he's very Rolf, actually. He's like a musician. He's like really chill. And yeah, I would definitely do that.
So my answer to this, and it took me a while to get there, but my answer to this is, it just knows it, is My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, A, unfortunately, there aren't too many like big like female Muppets. So finding a movie that has like a lot of fewer like main female characters. I would keep Joe Pesci. Miss Piggy would obviously be Marissa Tomei, because I would want her to see her do the biological clock scene, because I think it would be phenomenal. And Sam the Eagle would be the judge.
Totally. Totally.
Absolutely. The only problem with that is like, I don't know where Kermit fits in that, because like Kermit generally is the protagonist.
I know. Kermit is the Ralph Macchio type.
I think so.
But is Kermit too?
I think Kermit and Fozzie. Kermit and Fozzie are Billy and what's his name?
It's just,
they're the straight
men. It's just a question of like, are they too old to be the kids? But okay. Yeah, no, we can.
Okay, Robin. Kermit's nephew.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking Robin and Rizzo as the kids. But no, I agree. But anyway, I would love to see Miss Piggy do Biological Clock. I think that would be phenomenal. Jess, what's yours?
I don't know. One time I said Jurassic Park and keep everyone, like, everyone's a Muppet but Dr. Ian Malcolm. But I don't know about that. I think I want to go more like in the vein of Treasure Island, like, mm-hmm. and Christmas Carol, like, classic literature. And then I just don't know. Like you could do Dracula. You could...
With the count do... cross...
Yeah, cross Sesame Street.
He's a Muppet. No, the Count's a Muppet.
Yeah, you're right. He is a Muppet.
Has not been in like a Muppet movie. He's only been on Sesame Street.
So if you're doing a Count crossover, it's not Bram Stoker's Dracula. Just need to like clarify like the audience intended.
No, it would be Bram Stoker's. It just has to be the Count.
Okay, well then we have to put a content warning on it.
Wait, why?
You can't have Sesame Street characters just crossing over. There's rules. There's casting rules. You can't just them be.
It could be. I also think that like that any of the Muppets could be Dracula,
Gonzo.
Especially if you're doing like the Francis Ford Coppola too, because then he's gonna go to London and be like sexy. So, but then it's like, okay, well, Kermit would be Jonathan and Piggy would be Mina, but I actually sort of want Jonathan to be the one human and have it be Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
That's sort of what I want.
Kermit could be Cary Elwes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, now that we have teamed
Kermit could be Van Helsing. Gonzo should be Van Helsing.
Yes. Or Fozzie. Oh my god. I could talk about other Muppet movies or other Muppet potential movies for so long, but we are here to talk now about Muppets Take Manhattan. I have not seen this in decades. Like, absolutely have not seen it in decades. And I was roaring watching it last night. I thought it was so
funny.
Lynn, how long has it been since you'd seen it?
I mean, before this last viewing, probably about 5 or 6 years. I revisit it every once in a while.
Have you seen it enough that you're like, oh, I know all these lines?
Yes, I know every line. That's why, okay, I could watch it with his commentary and know exactly what was happening. I already knew the lines. And as they were happening, there were some lines I didn't remember, especially what I chose for my worst line, because it was, well, I'll get to it later when I get to it. But like I had wiped it from my memory, but I knew it. Like as the scene was happening, I was like, oh, that's the worst line. That's the worst line as it was happening.
I don't know if I saw this one when I was a kid. And I think it's one of those things where it's just like,
I think it went completely over my head as a kid.
If you don't have like the VHS, like if this wasn't one of the VHSs that your parents bought, or you didn't catch it on like the Disney Channel or whatever, like you could just miss it. And I don't think I actually watched it until it probably hit Netflix, like when my oldest was kind of going through his Muppet phase, when the newer movies came out. He loved, like, was obsessed with Muppets Most Wanted. And I don't blame him. It's a fantastic movie. And so then we started going back and watching all the Muppet movies. And I think that was the first time I saw it, like, 7 or 8 years ago. And I only saw it, like, one time. And I didn't remember very much of it.
Does it hold up for you, Lynn?
Yes, because I feel like it was... And Frank Oz says this in the commentary. It was his first time doing it, directing by himself. And I think he just hit a home run. And he had said, you know, the previous Muppet movies up to that point weren't so grounded in character and relationships. They were just much more like funny one line, you know, things that kids, I think, would like. And so this was so much more adult. And so, but, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't have that much. And in fact, I like related to it more because I grew up around New York City. So it felt like a familiar world to me already. And I think my parents enjoyed watching it too with me. So I felt like, oh, this is a bonding experience for me and my immigrant parents who won't watch anything with me. So that was nice. And then, you know, like as I got older, I just appreciated it more for that, for those like very real feelings. You know, I love when the Muppets get sappy and sad.
Same.
You know, I like, because it gives me permission to like go there too. So yeah, definitely holds up. And I still feel like it's my favorite. When I watch other Muppet movies, I'm always comparing it to this, which to me is like gold star every single page. And I just sometimes like, if it's not 100%, I'm just like, Muppets, take Manhattan. To me, you know, when you have the nostalgia also, it's something you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think because I've only seen it, like I saw it maybe a couple of times as a kid, watching it now, especially from like thinking about the script, it was like, oh, there are some, I mean, this is what I got on Jessica about when we talked about The Lion King. So I was like, there are some like logical holes here and like how quickly things happen. And then I was like, Melanie, slow your roll. It's the Muppets. Like we can forgive that they put up a show in 2 weeks and he casts half the chorus 15 minutes before they start. Like we can forgive that. That's the Muppets. It is a fantasy world. This is a world where nobody blinks an eye that there is a talking frog in a suit. I did have to laugh though at when he was in the hospital, like also what a terrible doctor. She is a terrible doctor. she was like, well, there's nothing I can do for you. Also like
nothing I can do for you except give you some clean clothes.
It was very funny. And then also like her like hitting his knee and like the reflexes. And this is where I think it is such a lovely balance of a movie that is for kids and for adults. Like you can find something in both in it, because like I'm watching it as the adult being like, reflexes aren't a marker of amnesia and all of these things. But like for a kid, that physical comedy in that scene is pure gold. I just, and then she was like, well, there's nothing I can do for you. I'm like, you would never send somebody out being like, well, there's nothing I can do for you. You have no idea who you are. Good luck, buddy.
What do they really do for amnesia patients? Like, I would assume that they keep you there as long as they possibly can just to see if somebody locates you.
The only thing I know about amnesia is what I've seen in movies, and they're always comedies, so I'm going to assume it is not correct.
Whatever happens in. Yeah. I would just figure that they would, like, that they probably are allowed to keep you there for a while, like, just until the police are able to, like, do, you know, or to see if anybody goes missing.
Or ideally, you have some identification on you, so they at least know who you are.
You're not a frog with
with no clothing
or ID. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be ideal. Yeah. Lynn, to your point about the sentiment, though, I think, like, those were some of my favorite moments of this, was the song where they're saying goodbye. In fact, like, one of my favorite, this is not my best line, but, like, one of the lines I wrote down as, like, just, oh, what a excellent, excellent line, something to remember, sentiment, saying goodbye, why is it sad, makes us remember the good times we had. And I'm like, oh, that is exactly why saying goodbye is hard. Like, that is, like, it nails it. Because it's like, oh, that's not a possibility anymore. And I like, that was just lovely. And then, you know, two scenes later, you have Gonzo jet skiing without jet skis and chickens.
I will first make a death-defying leap from the loop-de-loop ramp while my chickens do their impression of Tony Bennett singing the William Tell Overture.
The other thing I think is why it holds up for me, which what is probably why it's so dated, is all the cameos were people who were huge when I was a kid. Gregory Hines, Brooke Shields, Ed Koch.
Joan Rivers?
Yeah, Joan Rivers. Like, all of that. Even like Art Carney, because I had watched The Honeymooners with my mom. You know, like, kids today, I could see just being like, old person, dead person, old person.
Well, yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay, well, and, like, for me, I mean, like, I obviously know who Joan Rivers is, but, like, I recognized her from The Voice. I did not recognize her from looking at her, because that did not look like Joan Rivers in her later years.
Right.
So, like, I think it took me a couple lines and was like, oh my God, that's Joan Rivers! Which, that's a fantastic scene when they're in the makeup.
They were drunk when they did that. Store.
That makes total sense.
This is why you have to listen to the commentary. Yeah.
Wait. Like, together?
Yes, because, like, Frank Oz's Biggie.
So Frank Oz and Joan Rivers just went out drinking before together?
No. They took several shots. They do this often in movies to loosen people up because the scene wasn't working. So he was like, all right, let's just go for it. Because they did it as written and it just wasn't doing what he wanted it to do. So he...
Because it doesn't seem like what happened is written at all. Like, what we see on screen,
it's still pretty much scripted. It's just they went for it, though.
It seemed like they just let Joan Rivers loose.
Yeah. Oh, I think that happened.
On Miss Piggy.
Okay, so I have a question. And I wonder if he talked about this on the DVD. I'm sure he talked about this. Because I'm just so curious about, like, the directorial process, because obviously you have the voice actor who is doing the voice of the Muppet.
And also the puppeteering.
A lot of times it's the same person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
sometimes they'll get someone just to do vocal work, but usually it is the puppeteer.
Yeah. The only one that was a combination was the Swedish Chef, because that would be Jim doing the Swedish Chef body, and then Frank Oz did the hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Like his real hands. Yeah.
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 Oh, I loved the Swedish Chef in the movie theater, just, like, pouring popcorn on his face. Okay, so, like, in a scene like that, then, I mean, I guess it's no different than being a director and an actor.
I think it's a million times harder.
Well, yeah.
But
I mean,
when that becomes your language and your art of, like, being able to control a Muppet, you know, like, I think... Yeah, then it probably is. But you have to also do the thing of watching the monitor also.
Right.
So I do think that's very different. I've never had to, like, watch myself as I'm acting, you know? Like,
that would be terrifying.
No, thanks.
No, I would not want to. I, you know, having just done a few self-tapes, like, I... No, thank you.
Yeah, but I think it might be different if you're a little puppet.
It's because it's not you. Yeah. But
it is I've you. Watched,
it is you.
Yeah.
But it's not like watching your own face or anything.
Yeah.
And so, like, those movements, I've seen a couple videos. Like, I follow a puppeteer on Instagram, and she talks a lot about, like, how unnatural a lot of the movements of your arm and hand are to make the puppet movement actually, like, look realistic. And I can't imagine being able to, like, do that, like, watch the puppet and do the right, like, being up like this, and you're doing the voice, and you're trying to watch what the scene looks like at the same time. My God. And make your hand go the right way.
So they don't, my I mean, brain I guess they could fix not. Stuff in ADR. But, like, so he's, like, doing the voice and everything.
Yeah, he would just have, shooting. Like, be wearing a mic, probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do have to fix things.
But that is the beauty. The Muppet is just moving its mouth so you can make it say whatever it wants.
Right. You don't have to time it to anything, really. Yeah, exactly. I also think one of the other things about, well, any Muppet movie is just how clever the script is with puns and, like, mm-hmm. really quick jokes that if you're not paying attention, you miss it. I mean, sometimes they're pretty sophisticated. Sometimes they're, like, completely obvious. But I think that is, like, I wrote down so many lines. I'm like, not my best line, but just, like, so freaking funny because it was just so clever. Jess, I know you said you were having a really hard time choosing best lines because of that.
Yeah. Well, and it's always so, like, self-referential, too. And we don't really have, like, anything else like this in the movie world where it's, like, they're puppets. They're puppets. I mean, we just don't, this is it. They've cornered the market. It's this entire type of film and concept of film and almost genre that, like, just the Muppets do. And it's like, you'll just be, they'll be playing it straight. Like, it's just the Muppets are normal. This is normal. But then you'll have, like, just a hilarious joke about how this isn't normal at all.
Yeah, it's very self-aware. But then everybody
just keeps going. And I love that. I'd say that that's what I ultimately ended up picking as my best line, if we want to go ahead and jump in.
Yeah.
Is when for quick rundown plot is they've graduated college. They've worked on this great show. They decided they're going to take it to Broadway.
Okay. I have to say when they were like, we've grad, like, the senior, I was like, seniors in what? Because, like, I mean, and then I realized it was college and I was like, high school, college, like, where are we?
That's basically it. They go to Manhattan. It doesn't work out. I think they spend the summer there trying to sell their show. Doesn't work out. They're out of money. They can't afford to put quarters in their lockers at Grand Central Station anymore.
Loved that. Loved that they were sleeping in lockers at Grand Central Station.
And so everyone sort of feels like they're putting way too much pressure on Kermit. Kermit's taking care of them too much. They need to just move on and disband, so to speak. So they all go their separate ways, but Kermit still keeps trying to sell the show. So finally, I guess someone hears about it, or he does a great little scene where he does the whisper campaign at Zardy's, takes down Liza Minnelli's picture. And puts his own picture up there.
Really, Vincent, that was a
fantastic cameo. Vincent, a frog. So all of this stuff leads up to, finally, this producer named Ronnie.
What is his last name? He's the son.
Ronnie's the son.
Yeah.
He's the son. Yeah. So Ronnie, his dad is a producer, but his dad has said he'll give him everything he needs for one show. And it will be his first show. And he wants to do Manhattan Melodies, which is Kermit's show. And he's trying to sell his dad on it, being like, this is the first show and that I want to do. And the dad says, do you realize it might be against the law to have a chicken dancing on stage? And he makes several... Kermit's there, and they're like, they're pitching the show too, and, like, Kermit's like, I'll sing you the opening number, and he says, I'm allergic to amphibians singing. So it's like both of those lines together, I think, is just like, it's so It's so self-aware. It's so, like, why would it be illegal for a chicken to be on stage? I'm sure it's not.
I know, I did have a question about that.
But, I don't know, like, there are a lot of jokes about Camilla in this movie. I think more jokes than normal about
Camilla. It might have been her first time also.
Maybe.
Yeah, of having a relationship.
Like, when he has to give, Gonzo has to give her CPR. And when she comes back, and Piggy's like, is Camilla all right? And he's like, yeah, but I think we're engaged. So, I don't know. I just loved that line. I don't have, like, anything other than I just thought it was absolutely wacky. I'd say other than that, I think one of my favorite lines. So I haven't seen this movie all the way through very much. But I have watched the Joan Rivers cameo and the Gregory Hines cameo on, like, YouTube a lot. And I love, you gave Jenny the huggies?
You gave Jenny the huggies?
I love that, too. I love that.
Great. Wonderful. And I just think the whole Joan Rivers scene is incredible. And I'm gonna just state, and I texted this to Melanie the other night, I think it is the best Muppets cameo. Like, I really do. I'd have to go back and watch, like, all of them to say that with absolute certainty, but I would be surprised if it wasn't just the best, like, cameo scene of any Muppet movie.
Of Joan Rivers?
The Joan Rivers scene.
Because yeah. She upstages Miss Piggy, and that is nearly impossible.
But Miss Piggy's fine with, like, but Miss Piggy's in on it. Like, right. You know, when Piggy fights back, it's not... If Piggy had not been, like, cool with, you know, Piggy has to be in on it. And I think just the fact that Piggy completely loses control and is in hysterics. Like, we never see Piggy like that. Piggy doesn't really laugh that often.
No. I was going to say Piggy loses control all the time, but that's when she's jealous.
But not in, like, a joyful way. Which... Like, she's having a good time. No, that woman is a ball of stress.
Right, which I love the scene where she's spying. I loved all of her spying. I thought that was so funny. But when she, like, bends the pole and starts, like, whacking it against a thing and be like, oh, what's that noise? And then the truck is there and they're like, oh, just New York. And it's like, yeah, that is just a sound of the city in New York. It's so clever. Lynn, what's your best line in the movie? And did you know it going in?
No, well, here's the thing. I'm going to explain. I'm going to do kind of what Jessica just did where I have several.
Oh, because this is always what we do.
It was so hard. Yeah. It was so difficult. Because going in, I thought what it was going to be was actually going to be that line from the same scene Jessica mentioned with Ronnie pitching to his dad. Because he says to his dad, when his dad looks at him like he's nuts, he says, I want to do something different. And his dad says, so put some Jell-O in your pants. And I used to say that. My entire life, whenever someone was saying something like that they were trying to pitch, I'd be like, so put some Jell-O in your pants. And no one knew what I was talking about because it's the line nobody remembers from Muppet Steak Manhattan. Right. And then they're like, what are you talking about? So anyway, so going in, I thought, so put some Jell-O in your pants was going to be amazing. One of them. And my husband was like, no, that can't be the line. That can't be what it is. So I was like, fine, I'll, like, keep my ears open. The other line that I always quoted going up, obviously a powder puff for you and a powder puff for me, in the Joan Rivers scene, like, so iconic class. I do that when I get mad. The one that I used to quote a lot was Janice's line, I'm not taking my clothes off for anybody, even if it is artistic. she says that when everyone's like talking when they're reunited and then it's like shuts up and that's the one line that everyone ends up hearing. So those were the ones I came in being like, that's what it is, right? But then as I was listening, I was just like, oh my God, I forgot about this. Like when Fonzie is in the I just called him Fonzie. Fonzie. Hey! When Fozzie when he's in the cave with the other bears and Beth, the bear next to him, wakes up and he goes, oh, I didn't know this cave was co-ed.
I wrote that one down. I love this.
Because I don't think I knew what co-ed meant when I was growing up.
Right.
So that. Then when Snookums, the dog, is getting dropped off. And Rolf says, scene. Rolf mutters to himself, dog gets quiche at 8, whatever that is. That's probably, so those were the lines that like I remembered. So I guess if I would have to pick, I guess it would be a powder puff for you and a powder puff for me. Like, I feel like it's my Pinterest bio, you know, and if it's good enough to be my Pinterest bio, because, you know, it's all about makeup and stuff like that, then that's my favorite line. And it's always been. So
it can't be.
So put some jello down your pants.
She's like, have you ever worn rouge? And Piggy's like, yeah.
Now you're really gonna wear rouge.
And then eyebrows.
You need eyebrows.
Pigs don't have eyebrows.
Well, this pig is going to.
I think one of the iconic scenes in the movie that line makes perfect sense. And also, I now need to follow you on Pinterest. Okay, cool. Why was I not doing that before?
Yeah, I am been spinning my wheels shopping for makeup the last 2 weeks. I need help.
you need Lin Chen.
All right.
You need Lin Chen.
We should mention I do have an entire blog that is dedicated to this called Gen X Taste. And there is a post about how I got married to the Muppets Take Manhattan already. So, you know,
it's
very on brand.
I loved the line that launched us into that scene, too. I have to mention it because I think it's so funny that they're selling perfume. And what is
Quelle Différence?
Quelle Différence.
So it's what difference? Which difference?
Yeah. What's the difference? and Piggy's just screaming, you know, come get this French. It's French.
Get your Quelle Différence. It's French. It's feminine. It'll help you grab one of those rotten, stinking men.
And then after she like finds Kermit again, after that whole stint, she starts, says something in French, and he goes, you speak French now? Like, you speak French?
She says, quelle différence. She says, quelle différence. She says, no gold tooth, wig, no afro, quelle différence. And that's what we...
I do love the, this was not my best line, but I do love the scene where Kermit is dressed up and goes
loved doing it too. That's what Frank Oz said about Jim Henson, because Kermit never got to do that. Kermit was always just Kermit.
So straight.
And so him playing, getting to like pretend to be crazy like the other Muppets was so fun.
Hey, I just got back from the coast. Buffo, baby, buffo. It's great. I just wrote producer Kermit and put stars all around it. Amazing.
Oh, I just loved that he was like the, hey, buffo, baby, buffo. And like just the idea of like what a producer or agent or anybody is, it's like, okay, this is his idea of what it is, and just like amped up to the extreme, and it's so fun. Okay, so I have several lines that I think were so funny that I did not choose for my best line. I mean, so many of my favorite lines and favorite moments of this movie have to do with Rizzo. Shocking.
Yeah.
But like when they first introduce Rizzo, he goes, or I think one of the band members says, hey, that waiter's a rat. And then he says, I'm glad I got no money. Now I got no appetite. And I was like, oh, they're like rats in New York. And I think it's so funny that you have Pete's where you have like literally the rats are like working and like serving things and like nobody is batting an eye. And then juxtapose that later with Sardi's where the rats totally screw everything up because done this whole sting operation and everybody's like, okay, we're looking at Kermit. Like, okay, we've got this. And then they're like, our work here is done, baby. And they like climb, go out of the, under the tables and it's like, ah, rats.
Everybody's
and they like
screaming.
Destroy Sardi's. And so I love that juxtaposition of like this like super highbrow Broadway establishment to like the diner and the rats are just like serving food and nobody cares.
And cooking it too.
And speaking of cooking, when Pete gives Rizzo the grits, he's like, what's that?
How many grits?
And it's like, how should I know how many? Count them yourself. Loved it. Love it. So funny. So very clever. I also love later the rats want job, frog wants job. What's next? Penguins. And then the penguins walk in. I love
penguins
a predictable joke.
Hey, you got any
love
jobs?
A predictable joke. No, don't have any jobs available. But I actually went a totally different way for my best line. And I'm like scrolling through all these lines right now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these are all so funny. But I went a totally different way for my best line, and I went serious because I tend to do that with these. What was like the message I wanted to take out of the movie? And I went with after everybody has left Kermit, he's there by himself in New York, and they're like, Kermit, we'll write to you and let us know where you are. Yeah, Kermit, we still believe in the show. And like they sing the whole goodbye song, and he's looking out at the Empire State Building, and he says, because the show's not dead as long as I believe in it. And I loved that. And I think like as a person who is now leaning into being like an artist and like, no, I'm going to just make stuff because I want to. And, you know, being around so many talented friends and artists who work so hard because they love what they do. And it is not easy at all. And the industry is very hard. To see people just believe so much in their art is so inspiring. And I just love that line. It was a great reminder of like, no, have belief in myself, have belief in my dream. And like, it's hard, but the dream is not dead as long as I believe in it.
And he says it from the top of the Empire State Building. And when I watched it this time, I remembered that I actually used to work at the Empire State Building. I worked at a temp agency, I worked for the temp agency, and it was in the Empire State Building, and 9/11 happened. And of course they shut down for like months after that. And I just never went back. And so it reminded me of who I was during that time. Because they actually did shoot there. When he goes into the elevator, I was like, yeah, that's the elevator I would take all the way up. I realized like, oh, I never like went out to the observatory because I was like, I work here. I'm not a tourist, you know? And I just like never did that. And then I just never went back. And now I'm just sort of like, wow. What a time in my life, you know, after having I was Kermit's age. I had just graduated college. I had dreams of making it on Broadway too. And like, yeah, it just took me there that moment. And so that speech hit me completely differently this time too.
I did also like when they get there and they are getting into their lockers at the train station, and they say, he says, it's just for one day. We'll all be on Broadway tomorrow. And I just think that like is so, it's so indicative of like how young people feel when they get there. Oh, like it's going to happen. It's going to happen right now. Going to happen right away. Like, how could it not? You know, I have this great show where I'm so talented and
everyone loved it in college. Yeah. Why wouldn't they love it here?
Everyone where I'm from loved it.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about Pete and all his like.
I do have to tell you, Frank Oz said that was his dad.
That's how his dad would speak.
Not that his dad was Greek, but that his dad would just say these isms that like that nobody understood, but that he completely understood. So that's what. His whole thing, his spiel is. Yeah, exactly.
That puts so much in context because there were so many times that I was like, okay, what?
I loved it. I loved, like, that's like, the kind of stuff
that makes total sense.
It's singing. Yeah. It's dancing. It's music.
And then one time where, I think is the one where, like, Jenny tells Kermit to go, like, ask Pete for help or whatever. And then, like, he gives them a whole speech and Kermit's like, yeah, thanks. That helped a lot. just has no idea like what to say. He's like, oh my God.
But that's why we should all be like Kermit and just like, that's exactly how I should respond when I don't know what someone's saying without making them feel bad.
Helpful.
Like, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, can I add in that Jenny, the actress who plays Jenny, my husband kept saying, who does she look like? And by the end, he was like, I know who she looks like. She looks like the kid from Stranger Things. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he looked it up on Twitter, which he's not even on. I wish I could share screen. But the kid, there's someone tweeted a side-by-side photo of Will from Stranger Things, Noah Schnapp, next to Julia Donald, who plays Jenny, and they are spitting images of one another when he was younger, not when he's like hit puberty, right. But like definitely teen. Like,
yeah, oh my like god,
it is so funny. I have to send it to you.
I thought you were going to say something like, it's his mom.
No. Just that they look like alike. I was like, this right, is such a niche observation. Very.
Yeah, that's, I don't watch Stranger Things because I'm a wimp. Me so either. I'm going to take your word
take
for
my
that.
Word for it, yeah.
I'm not a wimp, and it's totally the type of thing I would watch. It just got exactly. to the point that's where it got far surprising. Enough in where I was like, now I'm just waiting until it's done. And I'm going to watch it, binge it all the way through so I don't have to do this like year and a half waiting thing that they've made people do. But I've also like accumulated a massive amount of spoilers, and I think I know half of the major plot points. So I don't know if I really saved myself anything. I don't know. We'll see.
I thought so. If it was like, oh, it's his mom, I was going to talk about the like, you know, Broadway producer being like, I'll produce whatever you want, son. And he's like, I'm not going to go back on my promise. I'll do everything I said I would. And it's like, wow, what an in, buddy. What an in. Way to go.
I believe the man who played Ronnie is actually a Broadway producer.
Is he?
Oh, he's not an actor?
I think he did act a little bit, like but like, act. Yeah.
It's like the whole plot of season 3 of Only Murders in the Building.
Exactly.
It's his first show. It's his first show.
Okay, so now that we've talked about our favorite parts of this movie,
really have a worse line.
I was going to say, do you have any worse lines? Then you said you did.
Well, I do, but it's funny because when I was like looking through it, even like quote unquote bad lines that are meant like they're meant to be cheesy, so they're not right. really bad.
No.
But this is the one that when it happened, while it was happening, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this one. And it hit me the same way. And so the line is when Rolf is in the dog pound, working the dog pound, and Snookums is there. And after the man does his whole like crazy spiel to Snookums and little lumpy dum-dums is once is washy scrubby. That's what he says. And Rolf looks at him like he's nuts. And he says to him, very impressive. You speak Chinese like a native.
Yeah.
And I remember even as a kid, I was like, because I'm Chinese. Also like, yeah, so I think it would have hit me different if it was like, you speak Italian like a native, you speak Greek like a native or anything like that. But because right. I was Chinese, I was like, I think he's making fun of the way Chinese people talk. That's I remember having that feeling when I was a kid. And then I was like, but we move on. Like, Snookums is there. It's fine. It's totally fine. And I just, you know, microaggressions that I grew up hearing that I just was used to. So when it happened again, I was just like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a microaggression.
I'm not Chinese and I bumped on that too. I was like, same. What? But then I was like, okay, so wait, is it because he's a shih tzu?
Maybe.
Snookums is
maybe
a shih tzu.
That
but I
was
like,
it.
But I still don't
yeah,
like
I
it.
I didn't
it
like
still
it.
Didn't
I didn't like it.
Said.
Yeah.
No,
that would not be said today. And Frank Oz didn't mention that, but he did mention that there were many things that they couldn't do anymore of the objectification of women, of like all of that. He did mention that, but he did not say about this line.
What I would say is probably my worst line, and I hate that it's my worst line because I just like the scene as a whole, and I love Dabney Coleman as in this scene. It's just so funny. When they show up, they end up in this. Like right off the bat, they go to this office of a producer, but it ends up being a con man. But he's all enthusiastic about their show because he just wants to get their money. They're saying like, oh, it's a show. It's a big city show. And he's like, big city, like cops, shootings, car chases, that sort of thing. And then he just keeps talking about the shootings. And it's funny, like twice. And then it's too much. I think the words shootings get said by him like 6 or 7 times. And I'm just like, okay, that's this. And then he even says, nobody cares about shootings anyway. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't. Like, that's not true. And this is obviously such a like 1984 movie where we just didn't have, like, I mean, it's crazy to think that we have more issues with gun violence now than we did 40 years ago. Woo, we'll just bring it down. No, that's why I didn't like it. I was like, it just brought it down for me. Like, they're all hyped and it's in, and then Dabney Coleman keeps going like, shootings? No, shootings? Some shootings? And I'm like, shut up about the shootings, dude. Like, different time, obviously, but it just like took me out of it just enough. And I do think like it kicked a dead horse, for lack of a better term. Like, it went too far. I think, like, we talk about threes all the time. We talk about rule of threes. Threes would have been great. They went past three twice, and it just got old.
I definitely agree with that. For me, there were definitely some, like, as I said before, like, logical holes. I was like, but again, this is a world where Kermit walks around without clothes all the time. Like, I'm not going to bump on logic
Chickens
in this movie.
Chickens on stage.
Because it's, if you're going to bump on logic in, like, a grounded universe, like, that is the fastest musical I've ever seen produced, in that they cast a chorus in 15 seconds. Like, and they all knew the words. Like, they all knew everything. Like, I'm not gonna call that out as the worst part of the movie, because it's not. It's quintessential to the world that we are in this movie. However, I really bumped on Phil, when they're like trying to remind him who he is, when they've like basically kidnapped him, taken him to the theater after his amnesia. They find him in the restaurant, and Piggy is like, we love each other and we're going to be married. And he like loses it. And it like has this whole thing about, I mean, I'm sure it was so much fun for Jim Henson to do. And it works with the fact that he does have amnesia, doesn't remember, but the whole like, I'm married to a pig. Like, it just goes so far.
Yeah.
And I didn't write down all of it. It just, like.
Ooh, the sounds of love. Zooey. Oink, oink.
That was the one that got me. I was like, oh, that's just cruel. That's just like mean to do. And like, that does then, I mean, as a script convention, it does work, because that then prompts her to like.
She has to hit him.
High.
Yeah.
She has to. In her classic Piggy way, and then he like remembers who he is. But it was just like, oh, this is uncomfortable. This is so uncomfortable to like watch that character which do that. And again, it works from the script convention. It's like not bad, as we've mentioned. Like, there's very little that is bad in this movie. But I was like, oh, this just was very uncomfortable for me.
I don't want to hear Kermit say lovemaking. I don't. need to hear him talk about that. I do like, though, like, I forgot that they got married in this, because
I do too.
I watch Muppets Most Wanted a lot. Like I said, that was my oldest really like favorite movie for a long time. And they keep talking about getting married in that one. Like, that's
right,
part
that's
of the
what
big
I thought.
I really like, feel like Muppets Most Wanted is sort of like pays a lot of homage to this movie.
For sure.
To Muppets Take Manhattan and the Muppets Caper. Or the Great Muppet Caper. Because in Muppets Most Wanted, you have them kind of being the cover for all this art theft going on. And then, but they also are like getting a tour, like getting a big Broadway tour show back together and all this stuff. And then like the marriage is at the central thing, because they've decided that they're going to get married when they get to London. So I was like, they're not married. So when my oldest walked out at the end of this movie and they're getting the show on, and he's like, oh, who's getting married? And I was like, well, Piggy and Kermit are getting married, but in the show, it's just this part of the Broadway show. And he's like, I bet she does something so that it's real.
Wow. Did he write
like,
this? That's amazing.
He's like, I know Miss Piggy. I bet she's like, she did something. She did something so that it's actually real.
She
and then
sure
all
did.
Of a sudden, there's the real minister.
And he was a real singing minister. They did find a real actual singing minister.
So Piggy and Kermit are literally married.
Yes. Yeah. And he did bring it out. It was so weird, because in his commentary, This is when he, like, actually entered the universe, and he, like, acted like he's like, so they're married. Piggy doesn't think that they, Piggy believes they are, and Kermit absolutely doesn't, but they're married.
Right.
And I was like, okay, but they're Muppets.
But they're not real. They're like, actors. Like,
he was in the role of director for everything, but for some reason in this part, he was like, as if he was in the world.
I think you funny. Have to be a little bit.
It's my favorite conceit is that the Muppets are real. Like, the Muppets are real. I mean, they are, like, you know, it's not like, it's not that you had like Frank Oz in an interview. It's you had Miss Piggy. And I love that so much. Were there any other like gems of takeaways from the director commentary, Lynn?
I mean, I highly, highly recommend it because he's just such a amazing storyteller. He just had a lot of interesting things to say. But I think mostly, I mean, you know, it's hard to just like pull out a specific on the spot.
Right.
But I do remember while I was listening to it, forgetting for a second, like, he did all this and, oh my God, he's Miss Piggy. It wasn't until he talked about getting drunk that I was like, and he's Miss Piggy. And then realizing, wow, this character is so fully formed and fully fleshed out in this. This is when, you know what he did say? He said that this is where they came up with Muppet Babies, where, you know, that there was that whole spinoff.
Yeah.
And, that's what I was wondering. Because I watched Muppet Babies all the time.
I have to say, this is weird, and I wonder if you feel the way the same way. I'm thinking you probably won't, but when I was a kid, Miss Piggy was my favorite, and I loved the baby, you know, scene in this movie. And when I watch Muppet Babies, I feel like the character of Baby Piggy in the show was like so, like, almost too much. Like, she was just too grating to me. She didn't have any redeeming qualities that I was so angry. I kid you not. When the Muppets came to, I can't believe I said this. When the Muppets came on ice, like Muppet Babies on Ice.
Oh, yeah.
I said to my brother, I'm going to go and find Miss Piggy and I'm going to trip her. Because I hated Baby Piggy so much to my core. I feel like it's just Baby Piggy, only the animated Baby Piggy version, because she was just so bratty and rude. And she didn't have any of the other side of her that we see as an adult.
Correct.
You know, when she's all grown up. Yes. She's just a brat. So I did want to throw that in. The other thing that he does talk about, which was interesting that I remember, is about the whole, just the logistics of the Muppeteering. I did mention that, like, they would cut out floors and stuff. But he did also mention moments where they would use robots, like, obviously with a lot of the rat stuff of the, like, butter spinning, even when, like, he's picking up Rizzo to talk to him. That's all robotics, you know, and it takes forever. Mm-hmm. And the scenes where they're on bikes, all robotic. And the scene where Miss Piggy is chasing the thief in Central Park, that's a man, a small man dressed in a pig costume, like skating in the wide shot, you know? Like all of those things were very interesting. Yeah. And also hearing about, like, when they're in the lockers, like, they had to have little people inside controlling. Like, he said, he felt so bad. He was like, I had to have them, like, these puppeteers, like, in there, inside the locker. That's why you'll see they're staggered.
Oof.
So that they can be underneath. Yeah. And they had to be in there, like, you know, for days and days and days, like, doing those, like, you know, in very cramped conditions. So that was very, very interesting hearing about just that whole side of things. Because I have had the opportunity once to see what the Muppets were like, you know, having actual puppeteers there. And it really does. Like, they're just dressed in black. They're there. Yeah. And, like, even though on the screen you can not see them, it's, like, it's hard to, like, not to take yourself out of it the way it is.
Well, did you ever see Avenue Q?
I was just going to say that. Yes. Avenue Q. It's, like, we were sitting in the front row when it was off Broadway. And, I mean, there you get to a point with Avenue Q where you don't even, like, you're not looking at the actor.
Yeah.
You're looking at the puppet.
Yeah.
And it just they do such a good job with like expressiveness, with movement, because obviously you're not changing the facial expression of the puppet.
No.
But like the expressiveness of movement, and coupled with the actor's reactions.
It's amazing. It really is.
It's such an art and such a talent. It's so, I mean, there's a reason why the Muppets have been so successful, and Sesame Street and all of the, I mean, Avenue Q being a parody of that too. Yeah. I'm so glad that you chose this movie, Lynn. It was such a delight to revisit.
Thanks for doing it.
Yeah. And I will always talk about the Muppets. I love the Muppets so much. Lynn, do you have anything that you would like to plug? Where can people find you?
I already mentioned it. I mentioned both, tell us my movie I Will Make You Mine, which you can watch now. It's streaming currently. I mean, it's streaming everywhere, but I think currently it's on Peacock is where it's at right now.
Okay. And I have that.
Great, you can watch it there, but it's always on like Amazon, iTunes. I think you could rent it from your library for free also. It's everywhere. And then my blog, genxtaste.substack.com. That's basically the things that I care the most about these days.
The amount of incredible recommendations, skincare and otherwise, that I have gotten from Lynn over the years and from that blog are too numerous to list.
I'm going.
Do it now. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us. As always, you can find us at Best Line, Worst Line on Instagram. You can download, subscribe, rate, review anywhere you get your podcast, Best Line, Worst Line. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Jessica.
I think I hear my beeper. Listen, I got a split. I'll have your people call my people, okay? We'll take a meeting, all right? We'll set a conference call. And remember, Lenny, Boffo Lenny, Socko Lenny, okay? I'll call you. We'll have lunch. Ciao!